This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, Christmas is a time of great joy for many people. However, Christmas can also be a time of great pain for some. For example, some poor families in America can't afford 3 meals a day, much less money for Christmas presents. Also, many men and women in the U.S. military will spend Christmas separated from their families while they risk their lives fighting Muslim terrorists who hate Christians simply because we believe that Jesus is God's Son and that He was born to save us from our sins. Many other people, some right here at Concordia, will be spending their first Christmas without loved ones because those loved ones have recently died. And finally, there are fellow Christians around the world who are being persecuted for celebrating the Christmas gospel. Now, we don't know all the reasons why God allows us Christians to suffer sometimes. However, God does reveal 2 reasons why He allows us to face trials and pain. First, God promises to use our suffering to strengthen our faith in His promises and draw us closer to Him. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." Now, the second reason God allows us Christians to suffer is that such occasions give us a chance to share the story. In other words, when we suffer, God gives us opportunities to proclaim to others the hope that we have in Jesus. You see, when unbelievers recognize that we have hope even in the midst of our tears and trials, they may ask us why, and then we have an open door to share the story. For example, consider our first reading from the book of Acts. A believer named Stephen had just shared the story of Jesus with the unbelieving Jewish leaders. And what was the result? They took Stephen outside and they began to stone him to death. Now, how did Stephen respond to their hatred and anger? Did he say, "Just you wait, one day I'll be able to watch you all burn in hell"? I'm sure Stephen was tempted to respond in that way. But Stephen also had a heart filled with Christ's love. And so while he was being stoned to death, the Holy Spirit moved Stephen to pray these words, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and do not hold this sin against them." This reminds us of one of Jesus' sayings from the cross when he prayed, "Father, forgive them." Sadly, Stephen's loving witness was ignored by those who were stoning him. In fact, we're even told about a man named Saul who was standing there more than happy watching Stephen die. And as you may know, Saul was later confronted by the resurrected Jesus himself, and Jesus chose Saul, later renamed Paul, to be his witness, to share the story. The Lord Jesus said the following to a man named Ananias regarding Paul's witness. In Acts chapter 9, Jesus says, "Go this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show Paul how much he must suffer for my name. Now, did you hear that last line? Jesus said that Paul would suffer for Jesus' name. Now, why would God cause Paul to suffer? Was God getting back at Paul for persecuting all those Christians? Was God punishing Paul for his sins? No. You see, Jesus had already suffered the full punishment for the sins of all people, including Paul's. In fact, we heard about that in our reading from 1 Peter, where it said, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So, why did Christ say that Paul would suffer then? Well, the reason is that God was going to use Paul's suffering to give him opportunities to share the story with others. For example, on one occasion, Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. And I want you to listen to what Paul writes to the Philippians about this event. He says, Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Now, with that said, let's get back to our first reading from Acts. You see, after Stephen had been killed for sharing the story, the unbelievers who killed him decided to persecute all the other Christians living in the area of Jerusalem. However, I want you to notice something. The apostles remained in Jerusalem. Only the lay people were forced to leave their homes and travel north. And as they wandered from place to place, we're told that these lay people did something. What did they do? Acts 3 verse 4 reads, Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Did you hear that? God used this tragic persecution of Jerusalem Christians to give these lay people an opportunity to share the story. Next, let's briefly examine our reading from 1 Peter. Among other things, 1 Peter talks about the issue of suffering in the life of Christians. Now, on the one hand, Peter points out that sometimes we suffer because we bring it on ourselves through sinful words or actions. But other times, we suffer through no fault of our own whatsoever. In fact, sometimes God allows us to suffer so that we might have a chance to speak about the hope that we have in Jesus. Therefore, we Christians need to continue to grow in our knowledge of God's Word so that we can be prepared to share the story when God gives us an opportunity. As we heard from Peter, In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Finally, we must examine our gospel reading. Luke chapter 2 begins by telling us that Mary and Joseph had traveled to Bethlehem because of an inconvenient census law from Caesar Augustus. But God used the decree of Caesar Augustus to fulfill Scripture and make it possible for others to share the story. Now, we know that God wanted people to know about the birth of His Son, who is the Savior of all people. The question is, how did God get the word out? Did God round up a few Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastors to get the job done? No. Instead, God sends some angels to a few humble shepherds. The angels tell them that a Savior has been born, a Savior for all the people. And then these shepherds go to see their Savior. After they had seen Jesus, what did these poor, humble shepherds do? Luke writes, "When they had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child." Do you see a pattern developing? God also wants you to share the story. Christ is the reason for the season. We don't have to wait until we suffer to speak about the hope that we have. We get to share the story anytime God gives us the opportunity. We get to come to church every week so that we might hear God's word about Jesus. But then we can leave, and like the shepherds, we can spread the word concerning what we've been told about this child. However, sometimes we fail to share the story. Why? Well, one reason, sadly, is that we might be ashamed to admit that we believe in Jesus. We might be scared of what people will think of us if we share the story. I know that's happened to me, I'm ashamed to admit, at points in my life. But we must repent of this horrible sin. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9. He says, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." I don't know about you, but I'm convicted. However, the good news is that Jesus died for this sin as well. That means that you and I can come to Jesus tonight and every night and admit our sin of being ashamed of his story sometimes. We can know that he has forgiven you and me, and just like he used Paul, Christ will use you and me to share the story. Now, a second reason we fail to share the story is that we're often scared that we simply won't do a good job. But do you recall whom God used to share the story in our readings? He used a bunch of persecuted lay people and a few humble shepherds. You see, your witness for Jesus doesn't have to be fancy or highly intellectual. All you have to do is tell people in a simple way about Jesus and all that he has done for us sinners. Of course, even though God can use you right now to share the story, it's still a good idea to study God's word so that you can grow in your knowledge of Scripture and thereby be equipped to witness in greater detail when God gives you the opportunity to do that. That's why I plan to offer some witness workshops in 2007, during which I can give our members some helpful tools that you can use to share the story right here with people in Jamestown or anywhere God might move you to travel. Finally, a third reason that we fail to share the story is that we fear being persecuted. We're not ashamed of the gospel, but we're just scared of what might happen to us if we share the story with the wrong people. Let's face it, no person likes to suffer. And I'll be the first one to admit, I don't like to suffer. But we have God's promise that we're forgiven. And that means nothing can separate us from his love. I'm sure those persecuted Christians in Jerusalem were scared to death, but they put their hope in Jesus, their Savior. Therefore, my friends, when we might be persecuted for sharing the story, we can joyfully remember these words of Paul in Romans chapter 8. Listen carefully to what he says. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Tonight, we learned that one of the reasons God allows us to suffer is that we might have an opportunity to share the story. During the Christmas season, we can find people right here in Jamestown who are hurting and who have no hope. But you can give them hope by telling them about the Christmas gospel. The good news that the eternal Son of God was born of the Virgin Mary to save us from our sins, to save us from death, and to save us from the power of the devil, that we might live now and forever in God's mercy and love. And so, my friends, as you go about your lives at work, at home, at school, in the community, or while you are traveling, always remember, share the story. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all